You have your Bibles. Turn to the book of Ephesians. For the next four Wednesdays, I'm going to give you a little Bible lesson that we're going to have for our church, for all those people that join our church in the future. And it'll be required that they go to these four basic, what you want to call, new convert or church membership lessons. What they do, it grounds people. And I just thought I'd share them with you, let you see what we're teaching. And if you notice, we call it grown in grace. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we want to do, is kind of ground people. These four lessons are just to ground people that come into our church in the future. Just give them basic truths. Help teach them the basics of church membership and the plan of salvation, believers' baptism, and one of them has tithing on it. You know I'm going to have that. And because the tithe belongs to the Lord. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And but let's look at these. I thought, you know, I don't know how much I'll cover, but I thought I'd cover them with you on a Wednesday night. And notice what it says. Now, of course, these are people that are these are people that have been trusted Christ as their Savior, following believers' baptism, and so now they're taking these four-week classes. How many are with me? And so all you have accepted Christ as and are saved, we'll be going on what God's done for you. Now, basically, this is for new converts, but believe it or not, even people that have been saved for years, a lot of times they've never been grounded, believe it or not. And so a lot of this will be a great teaching for all that join our church. And what it does, too, it helps people to understand. Sometimes people in a hurry jump and join a church, and then they don't come back, or they don't understand what you're preaching on or something. And this will, before they join, this will ground them in the truths of what the stand our church takes. And also it'll help them understand the Bible. And so, matter of fact, one of the Bible lessons, it might even be next week or the week after, I'm even going to have something about the Bible itself, you know, about the Bible. And so nothing in depth, but just all for grounding, so people are stable. Amen? Well, let's look at the first thing. What you were before you were saved. And what were you before you were saved? Well, look what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me see that. I'm in Ephesians 2, 1. You were dead in trespasses and sins. See, when I got saved, God quickened me. He brought me to life. Not only did he save my soul, but he quickened me. He saved me. He brought me to life for him. Amen? And look what it says. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so, look at verse 12. Look at chapter 2 of Ephesians. That at the time you were without Christ, when before you got saved, you were without Christ. See, look up here. You got to get. A lot of people say there's a God. Even the Bible says even the fool said there's no God. But the average person, they'll believe there's a God. It don't make them saved. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't get saved until you believe there's a God. And then the Bible says, over in the book, stay there in Ephesians, Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so no one can even get saved until they believe there's a God, that God is. You know, little kids get, you got little children, they look up in the sky and they say, where's God at, mommy? You look up and no, you don't. That's that truth that God's put in them that that God is. It's Romans, the great teaching in Romans says that in Romans 1, 19 and 20, says that it's manifested in them. That light, that lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. And so, I'm going to do real good trying to teach this in one class, ain't I? but it's a great truth. And and the creation, the firmament, declareth the handiwork of God. And so people that say there's no God, they have to reject that God conscience that God is, and they have to reject the creation. And they have to keep saying no, no, no. And then they become, then the Bible says in Matthew 6:23, if that light, and that's that light I told you, you're born with a God conscience. Matthew 6:23 says, if that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? When you see people that say there's no God, and I mean they're just off, you know, they hate the world and they hate it. They've rebelled against that truth that God is, you see. And so, well, let's look at that scripture. Look at verse 12. That at the time you were without Christ. I remember when I was lost, I used to go out of the bar, and Debbie wrote a song about it. I used to walk over I showed Billy and Ann the gas station there. I used to park across from the AD bar. Of course, the AD bar now is a complete open lot. They tore everything down. And I used to say, I know there's a God. I know you're up there, you know. Where are you? I know you're there, you know. And that was that light. I didn't put that light out. I didn't know Christ is my Savior, but I didn't resist that God conscience that God is, you know. And I'd say, I know there's got to be more to life than this. I know there's got to be more to life. And I'd actually be standing right in that parking lot talking up into the sky. And if you would have saw me, you'd said, that guy's flipped out. They still say that now. I flipped out before I knew Jesus, and I flipped out after I knew Jesus. I'd rather be flipped for Jesus, amen? They said I was a banana flip. You know, I flip, you know. So anyways, I love those banana flips. I've never eaten one of those. They're really good. And but notice that at the time you were without Christ, before you got saved, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And that's exactly where every person is today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. That's why, here's the thing. If you're saved today, you've got the greatest hope there is. But before we got saved, Coolidge, we didn't have any hope. That's why we always teach, the preachers teach it. There was, and you that are saved know what I'm talking about. There was a void. There was something inside me that was a void. It was empty. You couldn't say why, but you knew there was it was void because you were void of God in your heart. And so when you got saved, God filled that void. He put the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? And so, man, I'm glad I'm saved. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. Been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by marvelous grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. Boy, I tell you, I'm excited about being saved. Amen? But look at that, Ephesians 2. And you were dead in sins. Romans 3:10 says, and 3:23 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:20, all for all sin and come short of the glory of God. And we were sinners. We were sinners. How many are glad Christ loves sinners? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 20 rather. For there's not a just man upon the earth. I'm in Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that's the truth. And I'm so glad God took me from that fallen condition and saved my soul. Amen. Now God sees me just as though I've never sinned. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so I'm so glad that God took all my sins away. I've been washed in the blood. Amen? And God sees me now just as though I've never sinned. So that's what we were. We were lost and on our way to hell. We were without God. And we'll be stressing that, these new converts. And then why did Jesus die? Well, 1 Corinthians 3 says, he died for our sins. Yes, he did. I mean, look, why don't you turn to, you're near it. Turn back a little bit. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. This is a gospel here. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you receive, wherein you stand. You stand in that gospel. And here it is, by which also you are saved. If you're saved tonight, say amen. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul received it too, by the way. How that Christ died for our sins. Don't ever forget that. We just had the Lord's Supper Sunday night. We remembered that shed blood for our sins. Amen? And he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It wasn't by accident. God foretold that he would do that in the Scriptures. And so he died for our sins. That one reason why Christ died. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ didn't know no sin, that we might be what? Be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh man, when I got saved, man, God imputed his wonderful righteousness to me. He imputed it to you too. And that's what the Bible says, blessed, Romans 4:8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so I'm so glad that he gave us, and Romans 19 talks about how we're going to have those robes of righteousness. And just a great thing what God's done for us. And that's why Christ died. Because, see, Billy, I can't get to heaven on my own righteousness. Look up here. See, a lot of people say, well, I can get to heaven by my own good works, my good life. No, we don't have any righteousness of our own. We have unrighteousness. All sin, none righteous, no, not one. Not a just man upon the face of the earth. Amen? Isaiah 64:6 says that all our righteousness is but filthy rags. But you're going to find a lot of people that actually believe, after they become a member, that they're working their way to heaven. And we're going to show them, hey, now make sure, you know, you're not going to get to heaven by being a good person, by working, by being a church member. Bethel Baptist is, I think, the greatest church in America. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you can be the member of the greatest church in America and still not go to heaven. It's all by Christ. And he died for one reason, so our sins could be cleansed and that we could receive his righteousness. I gave Christ my sinfulness. He gave me his righteousness. That's a pretty good deal, wasn't it? You guys are good traders. Jesus gave us the best deal of the package, didn't he? And then if you're in the New Testament yet, look at 1 Peter 3:18. We're talking about why Jesus died. Well, we couldn't get to heaven without him dying for our sins. And 2 Peter, what do I have there? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He was the just, we're the unjust. Why? What was the reason for it? That he might bring us unto God. How many see that? And so you're emphasizing to that new convert that by him getting saved, Christ did all that so he could be saved. And of course, Isaiah 53:6-10 talked about how Christ was a lamb, went to slaughter. And then in verse 10 there it says, and it pleased, and I don't turn to back because I'm not going to get done here. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, the Bible says. And he put him to grief. He did that for you and I. Christ did that for God the Father, for you and I. Amen? And then number 3, repentance and faith. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, repent or you shall likewise perish. Jesus said it in Luke 13:3, repent or perish. You got to be sorry for your sins. Look at that Luke 13:3. See, this is going to be a great thing for young converts. It's going to be a great thing to examine their lives. I tell you nay, and Jesus doing the talking, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so, repentance and faith is what gets people to heaven. Look at Acts chapter 16. And I know you know all this. You have to understand this is for a new converts class, someone that's never known the Bible and stuff. Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Let's see if I can find it here. Well, verse 30, and they brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How many see that? How many see that verse 31 there? You got it? Now, look, while you're in Acts, but look also what Acts says in Acts chapter 20, in verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, that's you, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yes, it's a great verse, isn't it? And what this is saying, yes, you have to have faith, but there's got to be repentance. Now, why am I bringing this out to people? Just saying, Lord Jesus, save me, doesn't save you. Bible says a man has to believe from his heart that Christ died for him. I'm here with me. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confess. And a lot of people will say prayers. God save me. My marriage we're ready to get a divorce. God save me. I don't have a house payment this month. How many are still with me? That's got nothing to do with salvation. I'll use me as a... when I first went to church with Rosie, I was a street kid. I was literally a hood. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying what I was. And I was a guy that drank a lot and ran the streets and got into trouble and did things I shouldn't have done. And I knew I needed something. And so I started going to Friendship Missionary Baptist Church with Rosie. And after a couple times, the preacher, he cared about me. He took me in the back and said, say this prayer. And I said it because I knew I needed something. And I did ask Christ to save me. But about a year later, I really realized for the first time in my life that I was a lost sinner. And I realized that Christ literally died for me, for my sins. And I realized I was going to die and go to hell. And I got down and said, dear God, I'm sorry for all my sins. Lord, please come to my heart and save my soul. See, there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a changing of mind. Just saying, Lord, save me, without repentance. And I'm not trying to make a big thing out of, I'm not trying to make a work out of salvation. Because the work is in your heart. Are you with me? How many are with me yet? But the Bible truly teaches that there should be repentance. And if without repentance, there's no salvation. And I think that's why a lot of people, they become churchized, but they never got Christ. The thief on the cross said, we deserve all we're getting. Lord, remember me. That was repentance. Fell up in the tree, Zacchaeus. He came down and said, Lord, after Christ, he said, if I've stolen, I'll pay back, I think he said, fourfold, if I remember right, over there in Luke 19. He said, I'll put up, that's repentance. I'm not making salvation a work But I'm telling you, it's a work in the heart of repentance and faith. Am I making sense, anybody? And without that, there's no seeing God. And so a lot of times people get, they get religion, but they don't get salvation, because without repentance and faith, you don't get saved. You really don't. And the Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. How many see that? And so this is really important about repentance and faith. Let me show you a great scripture that will help you with this. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. This is a tremendous verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And Brother Mel, you'll be the heir to teach these in the near future. You got to stress these, Tito Mel, that they see this. It's more than getting baptized, more than being a church member. It's knowing, did you see yourself a lost sinner? Did you see Christ literally died for you? Did you see that you personally had to have Christ? And notice in the scripture there in verse 10, how many got 2 Corinthians 7? This is a tremendous verse. I'm sure I've shared this verse with you before. For godly sorrow worketh what? Yeah. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. To what? Salvation. And look what it says after that. Not to be repented of. Don't be sorry that you're sorry. When God shows you you're a sinner, that's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank God he showed it to you, and thank God you realize that, oh, I'm a dirty old dog. God, save me. I need to be saved. Amen? And for godly sorrow, that's what it takes to get saved. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I'll give you an illustration. These guys that get caught robbing banks and stuff, they do something, they have to go to prison. They're sorry that they went to prison because they got caught, but they're not really sorry they did it. Oh, I'm sorry. Or I'll use what Pastor Dave used the other day. Sometimes the kids get in fights with Lukey and one of the girls, one of his sisters. And Dave will say, now, Luke, you tell your sister you're sorry. Because David catches them fighting. They get caught in the act. Luke says, sorry. You think he's sorry? He's sorry his dad just fired his britches. He's sorry that he got caught. But when you see someone with godly sorrow, oh God, the one man over there in the scriptures, I should have thought of this sooner. It's a tremendous, over in the gospel, he goes at the altar and he says, God, one guy says, I'm glad I'm not like these. The public, but he says, oh God, forgive me. I said, that's godly sorrow. I should know where that scripture is. You know where that, Billy? I can't believe I can't pull that up. That's horrible for me not to be able to pull that up. It's in the gospels there. But I'll find it before I go to bed tonight, I guarantee you. I haven't thought about it when I was doing the scripted Bible teaching here, but that's godly sorrow. The one guy said, man, I'm glad I'm not like these guys. That's not sorrow. This other guy wouldn't even lift his head up. He said, oh God, please forgive me. That's sorrow. How many understand what I'm saying? Salvation comes to sinners that are sorry, and that are happy that there was a Savior that died for them. Amen? It's more than just saying words. It's with the heart, man, believe. That's why you get all these people say this prayer out loud. I'm not against that. But it didn't go no farther than where their voice carried. You know, just ask Jesus to save you. Well, I believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. But I believe when they call them, they got to be mean business. And that's the difference in real salvation. Amen? Look at that. What's a tremendous verse. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. And that's what Acts 20:21 is talking about, repentance and faith. Not to be repentant of. Don't be sorry that you're sorry. That godly sorrow is when you feel, when you get feeling bad about, that's good that you got that. The people that don't feel bad, those are seared conscience. It's good when we feel bad when we sin. Hello? And it says not to be repentant of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so repentance and faith has to accompany salvation. Otherwise, there's no salvation. Look at assurance of salvation. John 5:24. Look what Jesus said in John 5:24. And you could quote it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, look what that word says, hath everlasting life. That is past tense. Hath, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Sonia, that day you came up and got asked Christ to save you, that very moment you passed from death unto life. Bobby, you're still married to her, so you haven't passed from death unto life, because she's going to boink your head some. No, I'm just kidding you. But in all truth, the moment you asked Christ to save you, that very moment when you reached out and said, I want you as my rules, and you meant it from your heart, that very moment, bam, you passed from death unto life. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. I wouldn't want to anyways, but God's, look what it says. You and shall not come into condemnation. That's why you see a lot of kids, Billy. You'll be working with people, Brother Bill, and Super Church, and they'll come up every week and they'll keep asking God to save them. Because they think because they hit their little sister during the week, or they said a swear word, or they think, oh, I lost my salvation. You don't lose your salvation. You can't, you're sealed until the day of redemption. And God says right there, once you come unto me, you've passed from death unto life. Man, you're sealed until the day of redemption. And that day of redemption, when he gives us brand new bodies, amen? Look at another scripture there for eternal security. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. I love these scriptures here. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8. Romans 38, look at 8:38. For I am persuaded, see, Paul was persuaded, he knew, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And once, when you get Christ, when the Bible teaches in the book of Ephesians, once you get saved, Christ lives in you. In, matter of fact, over 90 times that word in the book of Ephesians. You're in Christ. You're in. And you can't. John says that he held, John 10 says you're in his hand. And no man can pluck you out of him. And but you're sealed forever. And look at that scripture again, what it says there. Look, can you think of, nor height, depth, or a creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul says, hey, I don't care what people tell you, there's no separation. Once you get to Christ, it's like super glue. You can't come undone. Amen? look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You better learn these, Tito Mel, because I'll never get this down in a one-hour class. And I think you could. Look at Look at 1:12 of 2 Timothy, what Paul said. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know. See, we don't have a hope-so salvation. We have a know-so salvation. For I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he, God, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What did he commit? He committed his eternal soul. Christ saved his soul. He saved your soul. We've committed it. And listen, he's a great keeper. He don't lose anything. Amen? And look at there's all kinds of scriptures. Let's just go over the one you know real. 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 5. But I have all these scriptures you can look up. There's a lot of great scriptures. And I didn't even put half of them. Here's one most you know by heart. 1 John 5:11. I love this. And this is the record. I'm in 1 John 5:11, near the back of your Bible. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this is what, if I was only going to show one verse to help secure, like in soul winning and vacation Bible school and stuff, this is the verse I would give them. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Well, his Son is Jesus. He that hath the Son, he that God, Jesus, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, that's easy. You got Jesus, you got eternal life. You don't have Jesus, you don't have it. How much plainer can that be? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, what? No. You'd be surprised how many good people, Christian people, they've never been grounded in the doctrines of sanctification and justification and different scriptures. They actually go through life. Well, I hope I make it, preacher. He's my Savior, but I won't really know until I close my eyes in death. No, you can know right now. You can know it. It's a surety. Notice what it says in verse 13, that these things are written unto you. He's written it for one reason. For you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that yuns, y'all, West Virginia, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God wants you to know things. Here's the reason why. God doesn't want us to walk in fear. Because fear has torment, the Bible teaches. If you're worrying all the time, do I have salvation? Do I have salvation? Is God going to, you know, I just yelled. Man, do you realize how many times, if you could lose your salvation, if you heard me watch baseball games and football games, I've lost my salvation 1,000 times. Just watching the Indians would make a man almost want to commit suicide. Not counting the Browns. Hello? I mean, I've got in that TV, it's almost embarrassing. I've got, Ray, I'll get right to TV and I'll start, yeah, I'll be yelling at it and Rosie will say, Rich, they can't hear you. They can't hear you. And boy, I'll be letting that guy have it. I've even thrown things. I won't now because David just bought me a 50-inch Panasonic high definition. Man, I love that baby. No one gets near that thing now. Don't even come near my TV. I'll kill you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And but Billy, how many times have we yelled and screamed at sports? Hello? And you wives are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've broken chairs. I've broken... I'm not trying to, I shouldn't tell you, but I know what I've done. So is Rosie. I tell you, I get so caught up in sports, it's crazy. It was too bad we can't get caught up in Jesus like that. And some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. You can get caught up in them sports, buddy. Because I like winning, and I can't stand to lose. I hate losing. And Pittsburgh lost Sunday night. And a lot of you were happy, but I was not happy. And I was screaming at the end. Me and David, you ought to see the Yankee games. And me and we're now we yelling at me and David Richard yelling during the game. We're still yelling after the game. And so, but I'm glad that God knows my frame. I'm glad He knows your frame. And those sports haven't got one thing to do with your salvation. It's all, I'm kept by the power of God. Amen? And boy, I'll tell you one thing. If I believe you could lose your salvation, I would tell you most guys that love sports ain't going to make it. But we're kept by the power of God. And yes. 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 Right. It's impossible. Like David Richard, today's his birthday, he's 35. 35 years ago, my son David Richard was born. I can remember at that time, they didn't let people still, they were just starting to let people go in, but I didn't get to see David born or nothing. It was, now that people go in and watch his birth and everything, but Rosie, she had real complications with David. Matter of fact, Rosie had complications with both, having both our kids, and after David Richard, the doctor said she'll die. We're not gonna have no more babies. And that's the only reason we didn't have no more babies, because I wanted my wife not to die. But I remember hearing David on the other side, and I could hear that baby screaming when he came out, because the Bobby knows the older guys here know what I'm talking about. You used to have a father's war. There used to be a waiting room for the fathers. You'd be waiting right outside the door where your wife was. And boy, I'd stand there, and I could hear him screaming. And this nurse came out and says, "You got a big boy in there." And I remember going, "Amen, praise Lord, God bless," you know. Now let me, down through the time, there's been times Davey's got me mad. There's been times he's got his mama mad. There's some times that we're so proud of him, we're overwhelmed with the pride we have in him. But there's other times we're saying, "Oh my lands, what's wrong with him?" Hello? Now watch. But no matter what my son would do, he's always going to be my son. Because he was born with my blood. David was born with my blood. I see three Billys there. Billy 1, Billy 2, and Billy 3. Senior Billy, preacher boy Billy, and Billy the kid. And I don't know what blood type Billy Turner Sr.'s is, but I can tell you, whatever blood type Billy Sr.'s blood is, that's what Billy Jr., the preacher boy's, is. And that's what Billy the kid's is. They all got the same blood. Are you with me? I could tell, if they took the DNA test on those Turners, they would tell them that, "Oh yeah, you guys all stem from the same family." By the DNA. When you get saved, you've been washed in the blood. I've got new DNA from God. Amen? And just like David will always be my son, when he pleases me, he's my son. When he displeases me, he's my son. When we please God, we're his son. When we displease our God, we're still his son. Because we've got his blood. We've been washed in the blood. Now, I realize that my blood now is still corrupt blood from my human father. But I've been spiritually been born again. How many are with me? And I've been washed in the blood of Christ. Even though I can't see it, I know God said it's so. And so I have a new blood type. And no matter what, Bobby, I'm a child of God. And I'm going to be a child of God forever, whether I please him or I don't. David Richard's going to be my son forever. I mean, there's nothing. If David becomes a millionaire, he's my son. If he becomes a pauper, he's still my son. Come here with me. There's nothing that David Richard can do that will ever change the fact that he is my son. And I love my son. Today's his birthday. I gave him a hug and kiss. I said, I really love you, mister. 35. Can you believe that? Halfway to 70. Now watch. Watch this. I didn't have this plan. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Even them to believe on his name. Amen? We sing a song. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. It talks about being in the family of God. I'm so glad I am in the family of God. When I took Christ my Savior, I became part of the family of God. Amen? And so, you can't lose your salvation. You're in Christ forever. You're in Christ. And he's stuck with me forever. Amen? And I'm glad I'm stuck with him forever. Amen? Okay, where was I? I don't even know what scripture I was on. First, so, assurance of salvation. Boy, we're not going to get this done. So, well, just look at the bottom. I'm just going to read it. We're not going to be able to do the scriptures. But believers' baptism, there's two ordinances. God gave the church two ordinances, believers' baptism and the Lord's Supper. Number one, the Bible, those in the Bible were baptized, glad they received his word, Acts 2:41. And those who believed with all their heart, Acts 8:37. Remember that he said to the Philippian, the eunuch said, he said, here's water, what does hinder me? And he said, if thou believest. He said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he baptized him. Remember that? So he trusts him as Savior. Number two, we believe only the local Baptist church is given authority to baptize, Acts 2:41 and Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Because why do we believe that? Because I believe Jesus started the Baptist church when he was here. I believe that with all my heart. Now, no church can get you to heaven. But Jesus was the founder of the local church. Well, it's got to be one. And he said, my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So that church is here somewhere. Hello? And I believe it's the local the fundamental Baptist church. I believe that's what Jesus started. That's my belief with all my heart. No place in the Bible says about infants should be baptized. There's people that baptize little children. They ought not. You should never get baptized till you believe on Christ. And that's what Acts 8:37. Philip said to the eunuch, "If thou," he said, "Here's water. What does it mean to be baptized?" In Acts 8:37, he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart," he said, "I believe." The requirement for baptism is you must trust Christ first as your Savior. Amen. Jesus is the baptism is a burial, the death, burial. Just pretend like someone burying, you're buried, dead, and you're brought back up in the newness of life. It's a picture of Christ did to save us. And then I got the scriptures there. Jesus also was immersed, Matthew 3:16. Also the eunuch, 8:38, Acts. It's required for church membership. Number seven, those who baptize are to live for Christ with the newness of life. Let me just give you one scripture. Look at there. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And then it's a public testimony of our intention to live for Christ and to take our stand with the people of God. That what it meant to Paul after that he was on the different side. Look at this last scripture. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. Let's see, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Take these scriptures home and do a Bible study at your house. And I get so caught up on some of this stuff, and I could be honest with you, I could have stayed all day on that first number one. And Philippians 1:21. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul says, hey, I'd rather be with Christ, but I've got a job to do for Christ. I'm going to serve him. And then, of course, Ephesians 2:10. Let's look at that last scripture and we'll close. Wait a minute, I'm wrong. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Those that are baptized or live in the newness of life. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Now stop. It's a great little scripture. Galatians, Ephesians. For we are his workmanship. How many see that? Look at verse 8. Now I will stop. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourself. No, it's not of yourself. You ain't got nothing to do with it, man. It's all God. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. There's no boasting before God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for one reason, unto good works. I don't work to get saved. I work for God because I am saved. Created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are to walk in good works. He just didn't save us to save us. Oh, I know he wanted to save our soul from hell. But he wants us to work for him and be a living testimony for him and be a light in a dark world. And so that's the first lesson. And I'll give you lesson 2, then lesson 3, then lesson 4. If anything, we'll give them to you and you can take them home and study them. All right, let's have a moment of prayer. We're glad you came. Pastor Turner, would you lead us in prayer, Brother Billy?